The one that we have looked at here today, Psalms 23. Anytime we come across these kinds of scripture, we must avoid two temptations. The first temptation is this. We're so well acquainted with it, we know it so well, that we think that we can't get anything new from it. We already know it, we've heard it, from beginning to end, and there's nothing new for us to learn. Well, that simply is not the case. No matter what portion of the Bible it is, no matter how many times you read it, it is so comprehensive, it speaks of God's love so much that we'll never understand it all. And for us to hear about the fact that God loves us, that He cares for us, that He will protect us, that He will provide for our every need, that ought to bless every one of us. No matter how many times, we don't hear too much good news, but let me tell you, this is good news. This is good news that God loves you and that God will take care of His children. Now, one of the greatest privileges that I have in life is to be a father. And I'll never forget, and of course, Lewis will be speaking next Sunday. He's one of my heroes, but I'll never forget the first time I looked at him. I realized that's your responsibility. That's you. You have the responsibility to take care of him. And when Kevin came along, it was the same thing. But the greatest joy in my life has been the fact that I was able to be their father, to be there for them, and to take care of them. And God feels the very same way about us. We're very special to Him. He loves us. He cares for us. And let's never, ever forget that indeed. But another temptation, because we are so familiar with it, is this. Sometimes we feel that Scripture is outdated. Our world today is not like it was in David's day. We don't know many shepherds. Not many people did that in those days, but we don't see many today. They're still around in some areas of our own country and overseas in other countries. But we don't hear a lot about shepherds. We live in a modern world of computers and cell phones and instant communication and things like this. But let's never ever forget, because of the type of world that we live in, that's the reason that we need to be reminded of the fact that God loves us, that He's our shepherd, because we live in a sinful world today. We live in a world that's moving further and further away from God. We live in a world where there are many pressures upon us to sin and do those things, and more people sin. And it's for that very reason that we need to be reminded that we need God's help, we need His protection, we need His power in order to be successful indeed. Now, let's realize this, that the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times will come. And I realize that there's some good things happening in our world today. I'm grateful. If you want to know the honest truth, and I'll just go ahead and say this, kind of off the cuff, President Trump has turned out to be a better president than I would have thought he would be. I'll give him credit for that. The economy is pretty good. He's probably going to appoint another Supreme Court justice, and he leans to the right. And though the Republicans do not have all the solutions to everything, they at least are a little more prone to believe the way we believe and pass the laws that we believe that we need in our nation today. And I give him credit for doing those things, indeed. But let's remember this, that we still live in perilous times. We really do. And I don't care how many peace agreements we sign. I don't care how many times we have the promises from our enemies. I don't care how good the economy is. Still, we live in a dangerous age for every one of us. And therefore, we need God's comfort and we need God's strength like we never have before. And certainly we need it in the modern day as well as they did in the days of old. Now, our first point is this. David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Now, that's very important for us to realize this, that God will supply every one of our needs. And that's the key word there, need. Not wants, not desires, not name it and claim it, And if you really live a good life, you live for God, God is always going to be there, and you'll not have any problems, and life will be smooth for you. We hear that sometimes, prosperity, gospel, and that sort of thing. But God doesn't promise that. God does promise, though, to meet every one of our needs. Paul believed that. He said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory." Now, David, who wrote this psalm, was regarded as one of Israel's greatest kings ever, and certainly he was. He was a man after God's own heart. He was known as the Shepherd King. And the reason that was a very high compliment. Not only was he actually a shepherd, but later on in life, once he became a king, once he arose to that very high position, the entire country looked upon him as being their shepherd. They said, "He will take care of us. He will provide for us. He will protect us from our enemies." And the Bible uses that same illustration to talk about a local pastor in a local church. Do you realize that? It says a pastor is a shepherd. That local church is the flock, and individual members are sheep. And God has given the responsibility to myself and to other pastors to care for the sheep, to protect you, to lead you into the paths, and to teach you the things that God wants you to know, and to help you to avoid those dangers that will be in your life. And the reason that that David was such an effective king, the reason that he could do this so effectively, the reason that he was admired so much was this: not his own abilities, but the fact that the Lord was his shepherd. He relied upon the Lord. He depended upon him. This was early in his life when he went up against Goliath. He said to Goliath, he said, "You come to me with sword and shield. I come to you with the power of God." So he depended upon God. God was his shepherd, and therefore he could be a proper shepherd indeed. And you know, you don't have the responsibility that a pastor does, you, as individuals, but you are a shepherd of sorts to some people because you have influence in their lives. And you can only do that effectively. You can only be a strong influence for God in their life if God is your shepherd. So if you're depending upon Him, then you're in the position that you can help other people indeed. Now, David says this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack anything." Now, he meant three or four things right here. First of all, he meant because the Lord was his shepherd, that he had contentment and he had peace of mind. That's very important. Do you think that there are a lot of people in this world today that have real peace of mind and contentment and real satisfaction in their heart? I'd say some do have that, but many people don't. And the reason they don't is they are searching in all the wrong things to find something that will fill the desires of their soul, something that will give them lasting peace and comfort and peace of mind. They look to the things of the world. They think it's found in money and power and things like this. But let me tell you, even though we all need money, we all need material things, let me tell you what. Those things do not satisfy, not the real needs of our heart. It would make us more comfortable in some ways, but I'll guarantee you this. We've all read stories. We know of people. We have heard about people who seem to have everything, all the money they could want, all the power, all the popularity. They were famous movie stars. They were famous singers, things like this. But they were miserable people, unfortunately so. Why? Because God was not their shepherd. They didn't have that peace. They didn't have that real contentment of heart. When we were in Georgia this past week, I was talking to one of my brother-in-laws, and he had been a limo driver some years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And as you know, that's the country and music center of the world, I guess. But anyway, a lot of country and music people are there. And in his job driving a limo, He drove, he, he drove the limo to several parties of famous people and all of this. And though he was not a part of the parties, and though he was not directly involved, he still had to be on the outer perimeter, and he saw what went on. And he said one of the things that really amazed him was this. He said some of the most famous people that you hear about and you see on TV and all of this that seem to have it all together, he said those people are actually miserable. He said they're hard to get along with. They talk to each other. They talk to others. They downgrade them. He said those are miserable people. He said you wouldn't think so because of all that power and popularity. You would think that they would be happy, but he said they are not. They do not have that peace of mind that they need to have. So the world can't give us what David said he had because the Lord was his shepherd. And if we're searching in the world, if we had all the power we wanted, if we had all the money that we wanted, all these other things, and left out God, we would still be miserable. What does Solomon say? Solomon was the richest man ever. He was the wisest man ever outside Jesus Christ. He had everything. He had supreme power. He followed his father David on the throne, and nobody questioned his power or authority. But even though he had everything that at his disposal, he said this, though I have searched in every area of the world, he said, without God, everything is vanity, everything is empty, everything is meaningless. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he gives me contentment. Paul wrote this. He was also talking about contentment or peace of mind. And the Lord was, of course, was his shepherd as well. He said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances I face. Or what some versions say, whatever state that I'm in. But he says this. He said, I know what it is to be in need. He said, I know what it is to have plenty. But he said, the secret of contentment in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's the key right there. God, Christ, as our shepherd, gives us contentment, gives us satisfaction, gives us peace of mind. The Bible says this, that charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we know that life itself is a vapor that appears for a little while and fadeth away. I used to think that people my age were really old. I don't think that anymore. I used to think, boy, if I live to be 70 years old, that's long enough. That's, you know, I'm ready to go on to be with the Lord. But let me tell you what. No, I'm not either. In all seriousness. But, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. The things of this life are so temporary. They pass away. But the things of God are what matter. And that's what David is saying right here. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Second of all, he is saying because the Lord is his shepherd, not only would he have contentment and peace of mind, real satisfaction, he said, I feel safe. I feel safe. Now, did the sheep of David's day, did they have adversaries? Did they have enemies? Did they have something that was a threat to them constantly? Yes, they did. Matter of fact, when David was literally a shepherd boy, he said that a lion came and attacked the flock, and he had to, you know, fight that lion, and he defeated the lion by the power of God. He said a bear came. So they had, the sheep of that day had many enemies, big and powerful and wild enemies that just roamed the countryside wild. By the way, people that were in Belize, that went to Belize a couple of weeks ago, one of the things that they feared was at night, and is Violet in here? Yes, there she is. Okay. They said, now you have to be careful when you go out at night because there are actually leopards out at night in Belize that roam the countryside. And William said to Violet, he said, now listen, you have to watch out because you're a small meal and they would attack you right away. But I thought about it the other way. He was a big meal, and I think they would be after him first. If I were a leopard running around, I think I would go after the bigger meal, the bigger plate. But anyway, they had a lot of dangers. They faced a lot of dangers, the sheep did. And let's remember this. They had no defense themselves. Sheep couldn't run away, and, you know, antelopes and animals like this, they had adversaries, lions and all that, but they can at least run. Same with other animals. Some can defend themselves. They can actually fight because they have horns or something like this. Some have a good sense of smell and a good eyesight, and they see their enemies coming. But sheep have none of those things. So they're helpless. They have got to rely upon their shepherd to protect them and to keep them from these evil things. And let's remember this, that we, the Bible says, we're all like sheep. And by the way, we face an enemy. We face an adversary that is much more powerful than we are. Matter of fact, the Bible says, your enemy, the devil, goeth about a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can we stand up against Satan in our own power and by our own abilities? No, we cannot. We stand no chance. He's wiser than us. He is an all-powerful being. He sees all things. He can be everywhere and so forth. We don't have the ability that Satan has. We don't have the wisdom that Satan has. We have to rely upon the Lord for our protection. And the only way that the only chance that we stand of resisting him is if we depend upon the Lord himself. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So we have an adversary, just like those sheep did. But we have a God who loves us, God who protects us, and because of him, we will be safe. Now, he's given us certain things that we can help ourselves with. The Bible talks about the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. God has given us these things, but it's to help us to realize that we must rely upon him. We have an enemy out there, but as long as we depend upon him, we are safe indeed. And then David would say, because the Lord was his shepherd, that the Lord would meet every need that he had. And I touched on this just a moment ago, but let me say it again. Nowhere in the Bible, not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament, not after the book of Acts, not in the coming of the Holy Spirit, does God promise us that we would have everything that we wanted, everything that our eyes could see, that we'd have be rich, that we'd be powerful, that we'd be all those things? The Bible doesn't promise those things. Sometimes God gives those things. And by the way, like Paul, I think most of us could say, I know what it is to be in need. But God has promised to meet every one of those needs. When Jewel and I first went in the ministry, and when we were married and so forth, it doesn't matter if it's in ministry or not, we went through some perilous times, so to speak, financially. Believe me. Many times we would have a hard time making our budget. I'll never forget one time Jewel said, when just Lewis and Kevin were just small boys, she said, I've been praying that the Lord would send us some meat for these boys to eat. And, you know, the next week, meat went on sale at the local grocery store. Just happened to do that. It wasn't just a happening. It was the Lord protecting us. But I found out this, that if we really have a need, God is going to meet that need indeed. But we live in a day and time in which there's a Christian writer named Leonard Sweet who said this. He said, modern people, and he said this even includes Christians, what we used to think of as luxuries, he said, we now think of as necessities. What we used to think of as extras, we think that we've just got to have those things today. But let me tell you what. You don't have to have a 2,000 square foot house. You don't have to drive the very latest car. You don't have to have all those things. And God's given that to most of us. And by the way, Jewel and I have come, we're ending up with a lot more financially and materially than I ever thought that we'd have, but it's God's blessing. But even if we did not have those things, God has supplied our needs, and God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory indeed. Paul warned Timothy this, And you know, sometimes we get the idea that not only do we want these things, we think that we've got to have them, and we think we deserve them, that God owes those things to us. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. But Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we shall surely carry nothing out." We didn't bring anything to this world. Naked you came into this world, nothing, you brought nothing with you. And by the way, again, the old saying is, when it's all over, it's just like Monopoly, it all goes back in the box. The old saying that the guys attended one of their friends' funerals and they wondered how much he was worth. Somebody said, I bet he left $1 million. Other guy said, no, I don't know. Said, I think he's worth more than that. He said, I think he left $2 million. Third guy said, I know exactly how much he left. I said, what? He said, he left everything. We'll leave it all behind. You won't carry your car with you. You won't carry your house with you. You won't carry your bank account with you. It's my air conditioning man. I may have told you this before. He said to me some time ago, he put in a new system in my house. He put in a furnace first. He said, I needed that, but I really needed an air conditioner at the same time. Well, I told him, I said, listen, I said, go ahead and put in the furnace, but I said, we'll wait till later for the air conditioner. And he said, well, if you don't have the money, he said, I'll you know, give you credit and so forth. I said, I have the money, I just don't want to spend it. And he said, well, you can't take it with you. And I said, I'm not planning on going anywhere right now. But anyway, that's just kind of how we feel. But, you know, God is going to supply our needs. God is going to protect us. And let's remember that. Let's realize just how blessed we are indeed. Second of all, he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, he gives me three things, green pastures, still waters, and restoration for my soul. Restoration for me, complete restoration. And let's remember what God does for us in these areas. Let's remember just how blessed we are. Now, one Christian writer said this, that he grew up in Odessa, Texas. And I haven't been to West Texas that much, but by the way, it looks pretty desolate to me from the times I've seen it from the air and driven through there and so forth. But he said the thing that he always thought about when he read this psalm or other psalms and, you know, read about things that happened in the Bible, he said there's a lot of similarities between West Texas and Palestine, the Palestinian wilderness. That's where these sheep were. He said it is barren, it is sandy, there's very little vegetation, and it is extremely hot. We know that's true right now in many, you know, right here. But anyway, he says, but in spite of that, he said in the Middle East, in Palestine, they're what is called wadis. They call wadis. And that is, even in spite of the fact that there's, by and large, just a lot of barren-looking land, and it's very hot and dry and so forth, he said there are areas in which there are streams of water, fertile soil, green grass. He said the sheep can't find these things by themselves, but they're there, and the shepherd can lead them to these places where their needs will be met, where they will be comfortable indeed. And you know, God will do the same thing for us. Life won't always be easy or smooth. It gives us some problems, even the best of Christians. And as I said, Paul said, I know what it is to be in want. I know what it is to have plenty. We'll experience the same thing. So there will be good days and wonderful days, but there will be bad days as well. But let's remember this, that God is always there. He will lead us to those areas. He'll lead us beside the still waters. He'll lead us to the green pastures so that we can be strengthened in Him. And then thirdly, he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have restoration. He restores my soul. Now, what a wonderful promise that is. That God can restore us spiritually and emotionally and physically. During the central times and so forth, back in ancient Europe, I guess is a better way of saying it, shepherds in Europe and England particularly had what they called cast sheep. And what during the Middle Ages, they would care for their sheep, and that was a big industry over there. But they had to always watch out for what they call cast sheep. And what this was this, because sheep are, have no abilities, not very much sense, but no vision, all these other things and so forth, they easily get into trouble. And particularly what the shepherds of England had to do was watch out for these cast sheep, because they would wander off sometimes and they would fall and they would end up on their back and they would just have to lie there bleeding. And if they were there long enough, they would surely die. The shepherd had to watch out constantly for them. That's why he was constantly looking at them. That's why he was, just counting them to make sure that none of these cast sheep had just wandered off and would be helpless until the shepherd arrived. He said that a good shepherd does this. He keeps his eye on his sheep. And once he looks, even if he has many sheep, he doesn't want to lose a single one. Each one is precious to him. That's what Jesus taught. That's exactly what he said. He said, if a man have 100 sheep and one wanders off, he said, he'll leave the 99 and go and search for the one that's wandered off, because he loves him so much, he will put him upon his shoulders and bring him back to the fold. That's what David is talking about right here. He restores my soul. And do we ever need restoration? As Christians, do we need restoration? Yes, we do. You ever done things that you should not have done, even after you've accepted the Lord? Have you ever fallen short? Have you ever, not done something you should have done, or done something that was wrong, you knew it was wrong, but you decided to go your own way, you decided, this is best for me, you didn't pray about it, you didn't think about it, you knew it was wrong all the time, but you still did it. Unfortunately, I have to put myself in that category. Now, I've lived a good life. I praise God that I've, lived for Him since I was just a boy. But can I tell you that I've never done wrong in God's eyes? Yes, I have. But I'm glad to know that God is a God of a second chance and many other chances. If He weren't, I would be in a great deal of trouble. Most of us would. That's what He talks about here, right here, restoration. Christians need restoring. They need a new direction. They need strength. They need revival. And God gives those things. Now, anytime we look at the person of Christ in the New Testament, we find this, that He had a special love for people in need. If they were sinners, He still loved them. The woman at the well. The demon-possessed of Gadara, He forgave him. He loved him. He had compassion upon him. People who were sick, He had compassion upon. But especially people who were sinful. The woman at the well, very sinful, but He loved her. His heart went out. Same thing with Zacchaeus. The same thing with Nicodemus. God loved them. He wanted to make them a new creature. When Jesus' disciples, when they failed, when Peter denied Him, Jesus said, now listen, I warned you, you should not have done that. I warned you, I told you this is what you're going to do, and that's it for you. You stand no other chance. No, He restored him. He forgave him. As a matter of fact, the last thing that He did was to forgive Peter. One of the last things that He did before He ascended back into heaven was to forgive Peter. The other disciples weren't any better. Peter gets the blame for all this. It's him, nor do we think about it, but the other disciples, they really denied the Lord too, just not as openly as Peter did. But let me tell you, God loves you. That's what He's talking about right here. He'll restore you. He'll bless you. You fail Him. If we confess our sins, and this is to Christians, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't believe in a sin in religion. I don't believe you have to sin. I believe that you can live a holy and pure life. But still, if you do sin, it's good to know that God forgives. God restores. He'll restore us emotionally. You ever get down in life? You ever get discouraged with life? Let God comfort you. Let God restore you. You ever get down physically? Your strength is gone? Vitamins help. But God helps a lot more. He can give you comfort. He can give you strength, and He wants to do that indeed. Thirdly, He said, our shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, let's remember this, that we can all be led on the wrong path sometimes. But we must depend upon God, because He can direct our paths. He can help us to go the way that He wants us to go, to do the things that He allows us to do. And it's all up to Him. It's His power. It's His wisdom. It's His strength by which we can be victorious. All depends on who is our shepherd. You know, the Bible says that there are evil shepherds that do not love the flock, that do not protect them, do not care for them, that do not feed or nourish them, and all these other things. There are shepherds like that. But we have the good shepherd. We have the great shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And because of Him, He blesses us. He'll provide for our every need. He'll protect us from our enemies. He'll give us strength when there's no other place to find strength. We can have it indeed. Fourthly, our shepherd will be with us in death. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now I know that death is not a pleasant subject. It's one that we would like to avoid. But let me tell you what, unfortunately so, unless the Lord tarries, we've all got an appointment with death. We really do. We've got an appointment with death. It's been appointed for us to die. Because of our sin, because we've done wrong, we will die. But the thing is, we can be victorious in death because our Lord is there with us. He overcame death. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And because of that, we can be victorious as well. Fifthly, our shepherd will give us eternal life. Now, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is what David said. You know, one of the promises of socialism and communism are pretty close together and so forth, but one of the promises of socialism, and back when many countries were socialistic countries, such as England and several other European countries, one of the promises that they made was this, socialist government. They said that you will have, a person will have the government's care from cradle to death. From cradle to death, we'll take care of you. Well, they don't do that, and they can't do that. But God has made us this promise, our shepherd does, that He'll take care of us in life, and He'll take care of us for all eternity. He not only can, but He will. What's glorious about the 23rd Psalm? What should we never forget? What should we remember every time we read it? God's incredible love for us. He loves us. He'll protect us. He'll provide for our every need, both now and for all eternity. Let me conclude by saying this and asking you a personal question. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, because he had trusted God, he had depended upon God, he was his Savior, he was his Lord. Is God your shepherd? Are you one of His? God's promises are especially for His own children. He wants to bless everybody, but He'll bless His children first and foremost. Is He your shepherd today? If not, you make Him your shepherd. You make Him the Lord of your life. And I guarantee you, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. He will bless you in incredible ways. Your life will be blessed, and you will be with Him for all eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You today for Your love to us. We thank You for the blessing of life. We thank You that You're our shepherd. We're just sheep, God. Like sheep, we don't know a lot. We get into trouble. We wander off. We make mistakes. We're defenseless, God, against our enemy. But Lord, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We thank You that David was a good shepherd. We thank You that You are our shepherd today. We pray that as Your sheep, we would walk in obedience to you, that we would ever appreciate your love and all of your blessings. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.